Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
We just finished up Memorial Day. I want to bring a series to you here in the month of June that I've titled, What Makes a Nation Great? I believe we have a great nation, and I'm excited to celebrate America with you. And as we study the Bible, obviously America is not in the Bible by name, but in Joshua here, we see the beginnings of a great nation in the nation of Israel. And in chapter 24 especially, we did some neat similarities between some things that made Israel great and some things that I believe make America great. And I want to share those with you today, beginning with the very first one, and that is the godly homes that America is full of. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. And our first sermon in the series, What Makes a Nation Great, I want to talk to you about a godly home. Let's read together in Joshua chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse number 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture for you. You may have over your front door or on your floor mat or hanging in your kitchen a sign that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a very familiar passage to us all, and I want to bring that to you today with the mentality of what makes a nation great, a godly home. Let's read in verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Joshua says to the people here, you need to decide today who you intend to serve, you and your home. And as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And I believe that a godly home is what makes a nation great. America or any other nation will never be any stronger than the homes that make it up. There's not a city in this world that can overcome the homes that are in that city. There's not a church in this world that can be any greater than the homes of those people who make up that church. You know who always gets the credit for good churches? This guy. Pastors. Everybody say, oh, he must be a great pastor. Well, that is a good church. But it's not the pastor. You know who should get the credit? The homes. You could have the best preacher in the whole wide world, but if the homes are in a mess, the church is going to be in a mess. I believe our nation is great because of the godly homes, and I commend you for that, because I can say this morning we have a great church, and I'm not to give the credit for that. God is for you all and what you do in having a godly home. As Joshua speaks to Israel here, he asks them to make the choice today who they intend to serve. And as I close my sermon today, I'm not closing right now. Some of you started zipping your Bible. When I close my sermon today, I'm going to ask you that same thing. I'm going to tell you where my family's at, and I'm going to ask you to choose, just like Joshua did today. So as we go through this, I'm going to give you 3 points that Joshua brings out to these people here today. I want you to be considering in your mind, where's my family going to fall here? It's very important that you make that decision. As he speaks to Israel, he asks them to make that choice, who they intend to serve. And then he informs them that his house would serve God. A nation full of homes that are serving God is a great nation. So what you need to ask this morning, and we need to be aware of, is how do I have a godly home? How can you have a godly home? And that's very important. I'm going to give you 3 quick things this morning, and then I love the first Sunday of the month. We're going to come and take from the Lord's table and have communion this morning with one another, and praise the Lord for that. Let's begin first when we think about how do I have a godly home. Look in verse number 15 here. Joshua tells them very quickly, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know how you get anything in life to start with? You choose to. Once you decide, you'll never do anything until you decide, this is what I'm going to do. If you want to have a godly home, if you want to have a home that is blessed, if you want to have a home that blesses other homes in your community and in your church, you're going to have a godly home. And the first step towards having that godly home is to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua begins by presenting the dilemma to the people that he's addressing here. He says, choose to serve God or choose to serve other gods. It's the same dilemma for us today. We're either choosing to serve God or we're not. Who is God's alternative in our day and age? Satan, right? You put a lot of other words with it, but you're either serving God or you're not. And if you're not serving God, in essence, you're serving Satan. That's the dilemma. Choose to have a godly home or choose to have an ungodly home. So Joshua presents the dilemma to the people. Then Joshua presents his decision. Now, I like a man who will stand up before the people and will present his decision. Y'all pray for me. I'm not so good about doing that. I want to say, well, what do y'all want to do? All right, well, then that's what we'll do. That's more my makeup. I believe God has made me that way for a reason, though. I really do. But Joshua gets up before the people here and he says, well, here's what our family's going to do. I imagine he hit his fist on the pulpit, right? Joshua had pulpits, didn't he? You're right. He's in the Bible. Everybody in the Bible had to have a pulpit. That was a joke. All right. I can't get you to laugh with my jokes. I'll tell you when it's a joke and you just laugh. Does that work? Is that okay with everybody? All right, good. There we go. He presented the dilemma, then he presented his decision by saying, my home is going to be a godly home. We are going to serve God. No matter what the rest of you do, this is what we intend to do. Now, up to this point, you've all been with me. Yeah, we're a godly home. We'll choose to serve God. But what we just said about Joshua and his decision is our problem most of the time. Joshua said, you choose, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what the rest of you do, we're going to serve God. That's where the largest percentage of homes miss it, right there. No matter what the rest of you do. Because we want friends. We want neighbors. We want people to like us. We want to go places with people and do things with people. We don't want to go down to the Mexican joint and be the oddballs. We don't want to walk in and everybody look at us and say, oh, there they are. There's those people. They go over to that church over there on Butterworth Road. I don't know what they do in there. They shut those doors and they'll tell them what's going on there. I heard they take up snakes. Have y'all heard that? So I brought something to church with me today. No, I'm just kidding. I really did it. I did not. If you know anything about me, the only time I get around snakes is when I got a gun pointed at. That's when I get around snakes. And as close as I want to get is as far as my gun will shoot. That's about as close as I get to snakes. But we have this problem with, I want to be saved. I want to go to church. I want to raise my kids in church. As long as it's not a fanatical church, we'll go over there. You know, if they'll get me out by 12 and don't care if I don't come all the time and all these things, we have our list of things that what we like about a church or don't like about a church. Most of the time it has to do with what we think other people will think about us based off what we do in relation to God. That's sending a lot of people to hell. You got for you to go to heaven, Jesus has to be Lord of your life. That's Bible. He is not Lord of your life if you're telling Him what to do. He is Lord of your life when He's telling you what to do. When I ask you to choose today, that's the first thing you got to do if you want to have a godly home, is to choose. It's going to come down to the fact, very simple for you, is I'm going to choose to serve God no matter what my friends think. I'm going to choose to serve God no matter what my family thinks. Now that sounds like something we preach to young people, doesn't it? Get a bunch of teenagers together and say, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you young people, you need to serve God no matter what your friends think about you. Don't give in to the peer pressure. How many of you have heard that sermon before? And you amen the evangelist who preached to your teenager that way. Joshua's not preaching to teenagers here. Joshua says, he didn't say, as for me and this youth group. Joshua says, as for me and my house. Joshua's preaching to families here. You know when your young person will serve God? When mom and dad does. You know when your young person will decide, I'm going to do right at school no matter what my friends do? When they realize that mom and dad decide, I'm going to be strong and courageous, as Joshua begins talking about in chapter number 1 of Joshua, and I'm going to serve God no matter what the rest of you do. You all need to choose what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, here we stand, we shall not be moved, we are going to serve God. It begins with a choice. So he gives the dilemma, then he presents his decision, and then Joshua gives a deadline. Here again, another thing I'm a little different about Joshua. I mean, deadlines for me are suggestions. deadlines and red lights. You know, you should stop or you should yield, but, you know, if you get through without a cop seeing you, you did pretty good. No, that's not right. That's horrible. That was a joke. There we go. All right. Yeah, all right. Finally getting people to laugh at my jokes all this time. Joshua presented a deadline. It said, this day. So when did he want them to choose? Anybody smart on the Bible here? Yeah. Knew we had some Bible scholars in the church this morning. Today. Now. Right now. Joshua didn't give them the weekend to think it over. Joshua didn't tell them to seek the advice of their friends and family. Joshua told them to choose today. He would never have made it as a car salesman, would he? No. Don't go home. If you go home, you won't buy my car. You stay here. Actually, he might have made it pretty good. Don't go home. Just choose right now. But he gave them the deadline. The dilemma, the decision, the deadline. You will never have a godly home until you choose to have a godly home. It's like when we were kids and we had a big test the next day. So we'd put our study notes under our pillow and we'd sleep on them. And through the night, they were supposed to get into our brain. And then we'd get to the test the next day. And the rubber meets the road right there, doesn't it? I mean, the test is there in front of you. You've got to have the answers or you don't have the answers. And what is the prayer we pray right before that test? Help, Lord. I tried to study and I slept on those notes. It's like that's how we want to go through life. We say, okay, I'm not going to choose. I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to be the oddball in my community who is totally devoted to the Word of God and His church and His will. But when it's my family who needs help, I'm going to say, help, Lord. You know what God wants from you more than that dependence? God wants you to choose to serve Him every day, on the mountains and in the valleys, in the good times, in the bad. And you know what He wants you to choose? Today. Not tomorrow. Not next Sunday. Not when you grow up. Anybody still waiting to grow up? When I grow up, I want to be a fireman. We have this mentality. We were taught that as a kid. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I think as Christians, we try to operate that way. Yeah, one of these days when things settle down, boy, we really want to get involved at the church. Things won't ever settle down. They'll never, ever settle down. Does anybody want to admit that you're the oldest person in here today? Does that offend anybody? Would anybody who's very, very old want to be an example here this morning? I didn't think I'd get many helpers on that. I promise you we could ask the oldest person in our congregation today, how have things settled down? They tell you they don't. I've watched people as they, you know, I thought, well, when I quit being a teenager and get into college, it'll get easier. It got harder. Get out of college and get a wife and a family, it'll get easier. It gets harder. I watch people all the way even up through retirement. And you'd think after you retire from your job, you don't have to go there every day, things would slow down. But you know what you end up doing after that? You go to the doctor every day. Can I get a witness right there? Well, they keep you there, don't they? You don't have a job anymore. You pay somebody for their job, and you have to go see them. Things don't slow down. You'll never have a godly home until you choose to. Avoid the dilemma. Avoid the dilemma. Decide today, I'm going to choose to serve God so that I don't ever have to come back to this place again in my life. 15 years old, I said, I'm going to avoid the dilemma. From here on out, the rest of my life, whatever God wants me to do, that is what I'm going to do. I was an odd 15-year-old. And I haven't always done exactly what God wanted me to do either. But I decided then that I was going to, and now when I get a little off track, it's easy to come back to that time where I made that decision to stay there. Avoid the dilemma. Don't come back to this place. Be able to sit through the next time this sermon is preached and say, well, I'm glad we did that back in 2013. Avoid the dilemma. Don't allow your family and friends to wonder. Put a Jesus sign in your front yard. Just say, here we are. This is who we are. This is what we're all about. If you don't want to invite us over to the pool or you don't want to take us to the family reunion, that's fine with us, but this is who we are. And you know what some of them will stop doing? They'll stop being closet Christians and they'll come out with you. And they'll be just as happy to be involved in Jesus and the church and all that as you are. They're sitting back waiting on you to do it too. Avoid the dilemma. Make your decision. Stand up and say, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We choose to allow God control in our home. We want a godly home that He can use. Today's your deadline. Every day you put off allowing God to rule in your home is another day that you have an ungodly home. And that's offensive for me to say that to you. I realize that. And I didn't want you to come here today to get your feelings hurt. But if you really think about it, I know I'm getting a little too general with things, but if you think about it, you either have a godly home or an ungodly home. It's that easy, isn't it? I mean, isn't that right? And in life, you're either rich or you're poor. You're either hungry or you're full. You're either speeding or you're not. Right? I mean, things are really black and white in life more than we want to allow them to be. And it's that case with this. You have to choose. And until you choose, you're either in a godly home or you're in an ungodly home. Avoid the dilemma. Make your decision. Today is the day to make that decision. Not only do we choose, that's one way we can have a godly home. The second thing we see here is in verse 16, 17, and 18. And it's to remember. Look at verse number 16. So Joshua says in verse 15 to choose. And then he tells them where he stands. And in verse number 16, the people answered and said, God forbid. I like God forbid. That's a good way of putting things. Another in the New Testament where we would read God forbid, this is not the New Testament, and this would not have been originally a Greek word, but in the New Testament, the Greek there is would translate directly as may it never be. I like that. May it never be. These people are saying here, God forbid. Or as we would put it, may it never be. What do they not ever want to be? What do they say? God forbid that this happens. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. I like their mentality. I like these people. They think like me. God forbid that I should ever forsake God to serve other gods. Well, where did they get this mindset from? How did they become these people? Evidently, they hadn't chosen yet because Joshua just commanded them in the verse before, you need to choose. Are you going to serve the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood? We know what happened to all those people, don't we? What happened? They drowned, right? And it was so bad that God himself looked down on it and thought, my goodness, what a mess, and gave a rainbow to promise, I'll never do that again. He said, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell? Joshua, who are you going to serve? And as they come to make this decision, they say, may it never be that we serve any other god but God. And why is that? Well, one, we can have a godly home when we choose, but two, when we remember some things. There's some things we need to remember, and that's what they do in verse 17 and 18. Let's read. What did they remember? For the Lord our God. They went to story time. Don't you love story time? I love it, church fellowships. Get to walking around talking to some of you guys, and you'll say things to me, and you'll start reminiscing. And you'll say, boy, I remember back in 1927. No, none of you are that old, right? Okay. Just making sure you're still awake. And you'll get to telling stories about the good old days and how things were and what happened and on and on and on. That's exactly what they're doing here. They said, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. They said, I remember back when we were in Egypt. Well, it was hard times in Egypt. But God brought, He delivered us. Do y'all remember He parted the waters? And there was a sea there, but we walked across on dry land. They got to telling those stories. And then they said, and out of the house of bondage, we were slaves. They said, our whole country used to be slaves. We were forced to work, and we got fed, and that was it. God brought us out of that, and He brought us into our own land, gave us our own place. Hey, they said, may it never be said of us that we serve other gods instead of our gods because what God has done for us in the past. They got to remembering some things. They remembered that God brought them out of Egypt. They remembered that God brought them out of slavery, and which did those great signs in our sight. Remember all those plagues? Remember when there was bitter water and it got turned to fresh water? You remember all the signs when you hear about the nation of Israel coming through the wilderness? They said, oh, we couldn't serve another God. Our God, look at all the things He's done for us, all the miracles, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went. We'd be dead if it wasn't for God. How could we serve any other God? And among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. So God gave us this land. And then one time, you remember it was just with a bee? Isn't that right? Some bees ran the people out of the land before them. They were able to take it over. Other times they were allowed to fight. Other times He knocked down entire walls for them. Said God protected us. God preserved us. God fed us. God took us out of bondage. Oh, God forbid that we ever serve any other God. Joshua, you've not really given us a choice at all when we think back on where we were and where God's brought us to. There's no choice in the matter. We're just going to serve God. You can have a godly home when you start to remember. In verse 16, they give Joshua a sensible statement as they said, well, there's no decision to make. We don't need any time to think it over. We couldn't serve anybody but God. They started to remember that God brought them out of Egypt, that God delivered them from slavery, that God provided for them miraculously, that God protected them all along their way. I submit to you this morning, you'll have no trouble choosing to serve God once you begin to remember what God has done for you. God brought us up out of the world, didn't He? Do you remember when you were drowning in the sea of sin, going down for that last time, but you reached up and called upon the name of Almighty God, and He reached down His hand and He lifted you out? David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay. He picked me up, put my foot upon the rock, and put a new song in my mouth. I'm still waiting on my song, but everything else I've got, you've heard me sing. God brought us out of the world. God delivered us from sin. Since the original sin in the garden, you and I have been slaves to sin. God allowed His sinless Son to die to deliver us from our sins. It's not that hard of a choice when I remember what Jesus did for me at Calvary. We're going to come in a few moments and take from the Lord's table. We'll take bread for the body and juice for the blood. And remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that sin's penalty could be lifted off of mankind. It's not that hard to choose who you want to serve when you start remembering that God brought you up out of the world. When you remember that God brought you up away from the penalty of sin. When you remember that God provided for us miraculously. How many stories could you tell of your family, of God's providing hand? They all begin like this. We were out of money, but God. We needed food, but God. We didn't know what we were going to do, but God. God protected us along our way. Many of you could stand right here today and say, I wouldn't be alive if God hadn't protected me. Do you have that story? Do you have that, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Almighty God? God must want me alive for something, or that, whatever that story is for you, would have killed me. God protected us. It's not hard to choose. I'm going to serve Him. When you think back in your life of how He protected you, God wants you alive to choose to serve Him. God wants you alive to serve Him and to lead your family in serving Him. God wants you to have a godly home. You can choose to have a godly home when you begin to remember. Think back and tell those stories. We were down to our last meal. Someone gave us a sack of potatoes. We ate potatoes for a week. God took care of our family. I left the house one morning. Dad said, don't be cutting up in your truck now, you and your buddies. I said, no, Dad, I won't. And my buddy got in the car, and he said, how fast will this thing go? And I said, watch. And as we rolled over in slow motion, you ever notice that wrecks happen in slow motion? As we rolled over in that truck in slow motion, I felt the top of my truck cave in on my head, and I thought, well, this is it. There's just enough to thump me on the head and give me a headache and help me to know to never disobey Dad again and to never, ever drive like a wild man again. And I got out of that truck, and there wasn't a scratch on me, and there wasn't a scratch on my buddy, and I thought, well, maybe my truck will be all right. You've heard this story. And it was leaning sideways. I thought, well, God, you didn't kill me, but Dad will. But if it hadn't been for God's protecting hands, I'd be dead today. How many cars have you seen roll over where the top just smushed in? Especially trucks where there's nothing but a cab. No, mine didn't smush in. It just caved in a little right on top of my head, and I had a headache for about a week. And every day I thought of my headache, and then I thought how stupid I was to wreck that truck. Amen. Where would you be today if it wasn't for Almighty God? I've heard your stories when you were living in sin and living unto the world and living unto yourself of how you were headed down a path that led to destruction. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof is a path of destruction. We were all headed down that path, and God reached in and lifted us out. When you begin to remember what God has done for you, as the nation of Israel does here, you'll say just like Israel, God forbid that we serve any other gods, because look what He's done for us. Praise His name. You can choose to have a godly home when you remember. And then the last thing we have here, it's very quickly in verse number 14. As Joshua begins his speech here on this section, it's a lot of speeches in Joshua that he gives here. But at the beginning of this section of this speech, he begins in verse number 14 with, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Fear. You see, you can serve God because you choose to. You can serve God because you remember what He did for you and you want to serve Him because of that. But there's one thing that will always keep you serving God and doing what's right, and that's fear. And Joshua begins that part of his speech by telling these people, fear the Lord and serve Him. Then he goes into asking them to choose or gets them to remember. You see, the reason I believe Joshua has to do that, and the same reason that preachers have to do that, and the same reason parents have to do that with their children, is because sometimes the good advice just wears off. Sometimes we choose to serve God, but then later in the week we forget to keep our word, or we neglect to keep our word. Or we will remember God's goodness on Sunday morning, and we'll say, boy, I'm going to have a good week this week. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. But later in the week when we're stuck on the side of the road and we have that flat tire, that fluffy feeling leaves us, and we don't feel so good about the things we remember. We start to remember back to all the car trouble we've had, and we think, Lord, why do you leave me in such a junk car? And then we forget that we chose to serve God, or that we remembered we wanted to serve God. The only thing that keeps a lasting effect in our life is fear. You ever got a fear for something that you couldn't get past? I bet you we'd go around the room this morning and every one of us in here has some fear of something they can't get over. Remember what I started the sermon with this morning? I told you I had a nightmare last night that I was going to get up before you all, not have anything to say, and have to fumble through my Bible and try to figure up something to say to you. That's why I'm so note dependent. I keep pages of notes up here, so if I forget what I'm saying or run out of things to say, I just go back to my notes and I've always got something. It's a fear. You all have a fear of something, and fears are hard to forget. Anybody afraid of snakes like me? I see a snake, I'm afraid. I'm a grown man with children and a wife. My boys think that I hung the moon and that I used to be in John Wayne movies and the Army movies in Vietnam. And that I was with Superman and Captain America and all of those things. But I'm afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of spiders. Now, I remember one of the first times I ever came to this church. We had a prophet's chamber down in the basement, and my family was still in Virginia. I came by myself, and I told you I was ashamed to admit to you that I didn't sleep alone last night. Y'all remember this? What an idiot. What a stupid thing to say to a bunch of people who are thinking, do we want him to come preach for us or not? But, you know, I told you I got up that morning, and I flipped the covers back, and I went to go turn the alarm off to get back in bed to go back to sleep after I turned the alarm off. That's why God gave men a woman, right, to keep us from doing that. And I looked, and there was a spider about that big. Whew, I was awake, and I was wondering, where are all those people to have church? Let's go ahead right now. Fear, in a lot of ways, can be healthy. You know why you don't jump off buildings? Well, as an adult, you don't jump off a building because you're aware that what happens at the end. There's a great big stop, and it crushes your body. But as a child, you just don't, that didn't register yet. But if a child can be afraid of that height, they won't jump off. See, fear can be healthy. And I think fear of God, I know fear of God is a very healthy fear. Fear has a lasting effect. I'm afraid not to serve God. I'm afraid of what I would become if God weren't in my life. I'm afraid of what my home would be if my home would not be a godly home. Allow a healthy dose of fear to push you to have a godly home. So Joshua says to Israel, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. I stand before you today to say, my house is going to serve God. We're going to be a godly home. That's what makes me believe that America has a great nation, because there are people who've stood up and said, no matter what Washington says, no matter what our local community does, we're going to be godly people. And we're going to have a godly home. It makes a church great to be full of godly homes. It makes a city great to be full of godly homes. It makes a county, a state, a nation, a country, a world great to be full of godly homes. And I'm asking you today, would you commit with me and say, my home will also be a godly home because He's our God. He's the God that I'm going to serve. It's going to take you making a choice. It's going to take you remembering, thinking back, what God's done for you. And it's going to take some fear. You're going to have to get a little afraid of what God might do if I don't make that choice. Or once I do make that choice, if I renege on that choice, it's going to take some fear of what God might do then. But that's healthy fear. You'll never move forward as a family. We'll never move forward as a church. Our country will never change until some people decide we're going to have a godly home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Psalm 127, verse number 1, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I don't know what your goals are for your home. I hope top of that priority is to be a godly home. Because if the Lord doesn't build your house, you labor in vain. All the aspirations, all the hopes, all the dreams, all the things that you hope to accomplish in life, if God's not first, it'll all be in vain. And someday you'll stand before God with all that you've done, and it'll burn up and blow away right out of your hands as if it were nothing. But you raise your family in church and on the principles of the Bible and have a godly home. And you'll look back on life and you'll say, well, we didn't get to do this because we were always at church. But you'll stand before God someday and He'll say, well done.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.